Discipline is forcing yourself to do what must be done, even when you don't want to. This is the truth most people avoid, but it is the truth that separates success from failure. The title says it clearly, How to Force Yourself to Be Disciplined. Because let's be honest, if you wait until you feel ready, you'll keep waiting forever. If you depend on motivation, you'll always fall short. Discipline is not a choice you make only on good days. It's the decision you make every single day, especially when it feels hardest. Think about it. How many opportunities have you lost because you delayed? How many times has comfort stolen progress from you? This message is not about theory. It's about reality. It's about learning to take control of yourself in the moments when excuses scream the loudest. If you can force yourself into discipline, you can change every area of your life. And that's exactly what you're about to learn. Chapter 1. Face your laziness directly and refuse to negotiate. Discipline is not something you stumble upon. It is not something that arrives at your door one morning with a smile. Discipline is something you must face, something you must confront, and most importantly, something you must force into your life when everything inside of you would rather avoid it. When you feel that pull of laziness, when your body says stay in bed, when your mind whispers that you deserve a break, that is the moment you must stand up and refuse to negotiate. Because if you negotiate with laziness even once, it will win the argument every single time. Laziness never runs out of excuses. Laziness will always have another reason ready. But if you refuse to negotiate, if you take your stand, you begin to build the kind of strength that changes your life. Laziness has a way of disguising itself. It does not always arrive as doing nothing. Sometimes it shows up as scrolling endlessly through your phone. Sometimes it comes as eating food you don't need. Sometimes it looks like busy work that keeps you from doing what really matters. That is how it wins. It fools you into believing you are doing enough, when in reality, you are avoiding what is difficult. And the truth about life is this. Progress is always found in what is difficult. The things that push you, the things that make you sweat, the things that demand your focus, those are the things that shape you into a person of discipline. If you want to become disciplined, you have to learn to see laziness for what it truly is, the enemy of your future. When you wake up in the morning and you feel the weight of the bed holding you down, that is the moment discipline is calling your name. You either answer it or you turn your back on it. But here is the reality. Every time you turn your back on discipline, you strengthen your laziness. Every time you choose comfort over action, you train your mind to obey laziness. And then, when it matters most, when your life demands focus, you will already be conditioned to quit. That is why it is so dangerous to negotiate with laziness. Even the smallest excuses begin to shape your character. You think you are only skipping a workout, but what you are really doing is building the habit of saying no to discipline. Now ask yourself, how many times have you chosen the easy option over the necessary one? How many times have you said, I will do it tomorrow, only to realize that tomorrow looked exactly like today? That is laziness negotiating with you, and you accepted the deal. But if you truly want to live a better life, you cannot keep signing that contract. You must face laziness directly, look it in the eye, and refuse to make a deal with it. You say no. You take action in that very moment, even if your mind screams otherwise. That is what forces discipline into your system. You see, the reason so many people remain stuck is not because they lack knowledge. It is not because they lack opportunity. It is because they negotiate with laziness. They wait until they feel ready. They wait until the conditions are perfect. They wait until the motivation arrives. But those things never come when you expect them. If you sit around waiting for the perfect feeling, you will wait for the rest of your life. Discipline begins when you act before you feel ready. It begins when you face laziness directly, and you move in spite of it. The human mind is a master at creating comfort. It tells you stories. You worked hard yesterday. Take it easy today. You don't have the energy right now. Do it later. One skipped day won't hurt. These are not harmless thoughts. These are chains. They keep you tied down to the same level, the same results, the same life. And if you accept them, you become weaker without realizing it. You may think you are just resting, but in reality you are training yourself to surrender. This is why you must build the ability to recognize those thoughts and shut them down before they control you. Think about the people you admire most. They are not more talented than you. They are not luckier than you. They simply stopped negotiating with laziness. They built discipline by refusing to listen to excuses, by forcing themselves to act, even when they didn't feel like it. That is the secret. It is not glamorous. It is not exciting. It is simply the power to say no to the weakness inside of you and yes to the actions that will move you forward. Now, forcing yourself to be disciplined is not about being harsh with yourself for the sake of punishment. It is about respect. It is about respecting your future enough to make decisions today that will serve you tomorrow. When you refuse to negotiate with laziness, you are telling yourself, "I am worth the effort. My future is worth the sacrifice. My goals are worth the discomfort." That is not self-punishment. That is self-respect at the highest level. The truth is, laziness never really goes away. It will show up tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after that. You cannot eliminate it. But you can weaken it. You can strip it of its power by refusing to give in to it. Every time you choose action over excuses, you take a piece of strength back for yourself, and over time, the balance shifts. Laziness becomes weaker. Discipline becomes stronger. Eventually, discipline becomes who you are, not just something you do. But that transformation begins with a single moment, the moment you stop negotiating. It will not feel easy at first. Your body will fight you. Your mind will argue with you. You will hear every reason to delay. But you must train yourself to recognize that this is the exact moment discipline is built. Not when it is easy. Not when it is convenient. Only when it is hard. Only when you don't feel like it. That is where strength is born. That is where a disciplined life begins. Ask yourself right now, what have you been putting off? What area of your life have you allowed laziness to win? Maybe it is your health. Maybe it is your studies. Maybe it is your career. Whatever it is, understand this. The longer you negotiate with laziness, the more you lose time. And time is not coming back. That is the real cost of laziness, not just wasted minutes, but wasted opportunities. So how do you face it directly? You start small. You pick one thing you know you need to do, and you do it immediately. You do not think about it. You do not debate it. You do not ask how you feel. You stand up and you act. That small victory begins to break the pattern. And once you break the pattern once, you can break it again and again and again. That is how discipline is built, through small victories stacked on top of each other until they create a foundation that laziness cannot break. And every time you win against laziness, you gain something more than progress. You gain confidence. You begin to trust yourself. You know that when laziness shows up tomorrow, you will be ready. You will not fold. You will not bargain. You will act. That trust is priceless. Because once you trust yourself, once you know that you will not negotiate with weakness, your life changes in ways you cannot imagine. There will always be people who say, "I can't do it. It's too hard. I'll start later." Do not join them. They are waiting for a moment that will never come. Instead, become the person who says, "I will do it now. I will act, even when I don't feel like it. I will not negotiate." That person builds a life of freedom, success, and growth. And that person can be you. So remember this: The next time laziness calls, do not answer. The next time it whispers, shut it down. The next time it offers comfort, refuse the deal. Stand firm. Take action. Build your strength one choice at a time. And never forget, the moment you refuse to negotiate with laziness is the moment you force yourself into discipline. And discipline is the path that changes everything. Chapter 2. Take small actions immediately to train instant response. Discipline is not something you build in giant leaps. It is not something that appears one day after a sudden decision. It is created in small actions taken at the exact moment they are needed. Every time you delay, every time you wait, you weaken the ability to respond. The secret to real discipline is learning to act immediately, to move as soon as the thought enters your mind, without hesitation and without negotiation. Those small, instant actions train your mind and body to respond without delay, and that habit becomes the foundation of strength in every part of life. Think about how often opportunities pass you by simply because you paused. You felt the urge to exercise but waited a little longer and then skipped it. You knew you had a call to make but told yourself you would do it later, and later never came. You had an idea to write something down but convinced yourself it could wait, and then you forgot. These small moments do not feel destructive at the time, but they slowly condition you to ignore your own direction. They teach your mind that hesitation is acceptable, and the more you accept hesitation, the weaker your discipline becomes. Now imagine the opposite. Imagine every time you had the thought to act, you moved. You thought of drinking water, so you drank it. You thought of picking up a book, so you opened it. You remembered a task you needed to complete, so you started it right then. That pattern builds something powerful, the ability to respond instantly. That is how you remove laziness before it grows. That is how you prevent procrastination from building roots, and that is how you gain control over yourself. The reason immediate action is so powerful is because the human brain is fast at creating reasons to stop. Within seconds of thinking about doing something hard, your mind creates a list of arguments against it. It tells you you're too tired. It tells you you'll have more energy later. It tells you it's not urgent right now. But those arguments only appear when you wait. If you act before your brain has time to debate, you win. You cut off the excuses before they take shape. That is why small, instant actions matter more than big, delayed ones. When you decide to train this skill, start with something simple. As soon as your alarm rings, stand up. Not after a few minutes, not after checking your phone. Stand up immediately. That is a small action, but it builds a strong lesson. I control my response. Do the same when you remember a small task. Do it right then, even if it takes only 30 seconds. Each time you do this, you reinforce the message that you are a person who acts, not a person who waits. Discipline is not just about grand goals. It is about teaching yourself that your actions follow your decisions. If you decide to do something and then don't, you are teaching yourself to doubt your own word. But if you decide and then act instantly, you are teaching yourself trust. That trust grows into confidence. Confidence grows into consistency. And consistency builds a disciplined life. But it begins with small actions taken immediately. You may think small actions are too insignificant to matter, but they are the seeds of change. When you act instantly on a small task, you train the same mental muscle that will later help you act instantly on bigger challenges. Picking up a book today trains the same discipline that will help you start a business tomorrow. Standing up as soon as your alarm rings trains the same discipline that will help you stay strong under pressure later. You cannot skip the small steps. They are the training ground for the big ones. If you want to test yourself, give this rule a try. When you think of something necessary, count down from 3 and then do it. 3, 2, 1, move. Do not let the thought sit for long. That simple rule removes hesitation. It breaks the habit of waiting, and it forces you to build a new reflex. Act now. Over time, you won't need to count. Your body will move on its own. That is what real discipline feels like, not forced effort, but trained reflex. But here is the truth. You will not always feel like moving instantly. Some days the small action will feel heavier than it should. Some days you will want to delay. That is where training comes in. You are not building a lifestyle where everything feels easy. You are building a mind that acts regardless of feelings. Feelings change. One day you feel motivated, the next day you don't. If your life depends on feelings, you will live inconsistent. But if your life depends on trained response, you will live disciplined. Look at any person who has achieved consistency in their field. They are not waiting for inspiration every day. They trained themselves to act as soon as the decision was made. That is why they succeed. They may not always do it perfectly, but they do it without delay. And the truth is, discipline is not about perfection. It is about consistency of action over time. That consistency is impossible without instant response. You must also understand that waiting does more than waste time. It weakens your self-respect. Every time you delay, you feel the weight of disappointment. You know you should have moved, but you didn't. That small regret builds into frustration, and frustration, if repeated long enough, turns into self-doubt. That is the dangerous cycle of hesitation. But when you act immediately, even on something small, you feel a sense of pride. That pride fuels motivation. That motivation makes the next action easier. And soon, your life is filled with momentum instead of regret. Discipline is not a gift. It is a choice repeated until it becomes natural. And the most powerful way to train that choice is through instant action. When you think of doing something productive, move before excuses arrive. When you feel resistance, step into it quickly before it grows. Every instant action is a reminder that you are stronger than hesitation. The beauty of this approach is that anyone can start it right now. You don't need money. You don't need equipment. You don't need special skills. All you need is the willingness to act as soon as the thought appears. That is available to everyone. And the more you practice, the more natural it becomes. The first time you do it, it may feel uncomfortable. The 10th time, it feels less difficult. The 100th time, it feels automatic. That is how you turn instant action into habit. Think about this. Every person has the same 24 hours. Some build disciplined lives. Others waste their days. The difference is not time. The difference is response. Some act immediately. Others wait. Which group do you want to belong to? The answer lies in what you do the moment a decision comes into your mind. If you want a stronger future, stop giving power to hesitation. Start honoring your thoughts with immediate action. When you feel the urge to do something good for yourself, move. When you know a task is waiting, handle it now. When you have the choice to delay or act, choose act. Those choices may seem small in the moment, but they are shaping who you become. The disciplined life is built in these exact moments, not tomorrow, not someday, right now, right here, in the decision you make today. Take small actions immediately, and you will train yourself to respond instantly. That instant response becomes your protection against laziness, procrastination, and wasted time. It becomes the tool that helps you live with focus and strength, and it becomes the foundation of a life that grows stronger every single day. When you decide to act instantly, you are telling yourself that your future matters more than your comfort. You are telling yourself that excuses will no longer run your life. You are telling yourself that you are in control. That message, repeated in small actions, will change everything. So when the next decision enters your mind, do not wait. Do not hesitate. Do not negotiate. Act, move, respond, because the life you want is waiting, but only for the person who learns to act without delay. Chapter 3. Control your thoughts before they control your decisions. The greatest battles of discipline are not fought outside but inside the human mind. Every action you take begins first as a thought, and every decision you make is shaped by the direction of your thinking. If you do not learn to control what goes on in your head, then your life will always be led by impulses, emotions, and distortions. But when you gain control over your thoughts, you put yourself in the position to make stronger, clearer, and wiser choices. Discipline becomes possible only when you understand how powerful your thinking truly is. Most people underestimate how much their thoughts influence their lives. They believe that actions are separate from thinking. But in reality, action is only the extension of what you allow to stay in your mind. Think about it. The person who repeatedly tells themselves they will never improve eventually stops trying. The person who constantly thinks they will fail does not even begin. Thoughts are not harmless, they are the seeds of every decision, and every decision builds your future. This is why controlling your thoughts is the most important foundation for discipline. When you are not aware of what you think, your mind becomes a playground for negativity. One negative thought leads to another, and soon you are filled with hesitation, fear, or excuses. You say to yourself that you are too tired, that you are not capable, or that it is not worth the effort. If you allow these thoughts to sit in your mind, they will shape your actions. You may not notice it at first, but slowly you begin to avoid what is hard. You begin to settle for less than you are capable of, and over time your life reflects the weakness of those thoughts. The good news is that you can take back control. You can train yourself to filter your thoughts the way you filter the food you eat. You do not eat whatever is put in front of you without thinking. You choose carefully because you know it will affect your health. In the same way, you cannot allow every thought to take root. You must choose which thoughts are worth keeping and which ones must be replaced. This is a discipline in itself, the discipline of thought management. The first step to controlling your thoughts is awareness. Too many people live on autopilot, never stopping to notice what they are thinking. They assume their thoughts are facts, when in reality, most thoughts are simply opinions, interpretations, or echoes of past experiences. If you want to take control, you must learn to stop and examine. Ask yourself, what am I thinking right now? Is this thought leading me forward or holding me back? Is this thought building discipline or destroying it? The very act of asking these questions gives you the power to separate yourself from the thought instead of being controlled by it. The second step is replacement. You cannot simply force a thought to disappear. The human mind does not operate in empty space. If you want to get rid of a destructive thought, you must replace it with a constructive one. If your mind says, "I can't do this," you replace it with, "I may struggle, but I can learn and improve." If your mind says, "I don't feel like starting," you replace it with, "I will begin now," because starting creates momentum. Replacement is not about pretending everything is perfect. It is about directing your mind toward thoughts that build strength, rather than weakness. Another important step is to limit the input that feeds negative thoughts. Your environment is constantly shaping the way you think. The news you consume, the conversations you have, the people you spend time with, all of these leave an impression on your mind. If you surround yourself with people who always complain, you will start to think in complaint. If you fill your day with endless entertainment, your thoughts will lean toward comfort instead of growth. Controlling your thoughts also means controlling what you expose yourself to daily. If you want discipline, you must create an environment that feeds your mind with clarity, focus, and direction. One of the strongest tools for controlling your thoughts is reflection. Set aside time each day to examine how your thinking guided your choices. Ask yourself, did my thoughts push me toward my goals or away from them today? Where did I let negativity control my actions? Where did I win the battle in my mind? This habit builds awareness and allows you to make corrections before poor thinking becomes a habit. The more often you reflect, the quicker you catch harmful patterns. Understand this truth: your feelings often follow your thoughts. If your thinking is undisciplined, your emotions will be unstable. You will feel discouraged, overwhelmed, or anxious, not because of circumstances, but because of how you are thinking about them. But when you control your thoughts, your emotions become more stable. You feel capable, strong, and in control. And when your emotions are steady, your decisions improve. This is why controlling your thoughts is not just a mental exercise. It directly affects your energy, your focus, and your ability to follow through. You must also learn to challenge irrational thought. Many times your mind will exaggerate reality. It will tell you the task is too big, that you don't have enough time, that failure is certain. But when you step back, you realize those are not facts, they are fears. Discipline grows when you confront those fears with truth. The task may be big, but it can be broken into steps. You may not feel ready, but you can start with what you have. Failure may be possible, but so is success. Challenging thoughts is how you prevent them from dictating your behavior. Controlling your thoughts is not about ignoring difficulty. Life will always present challenges. It is about choosing how you respond to those challenges in your mind before you respond in your actions. The person who disciplines their thoughts says, "This is difficult, but I can handle it one step at a time." The person who does not control their thoughts says, "This is difficult, so I won't try." Same situation, different thought, completely different outcome. If you want to make this practical, begin by paying attention to the small moment. Notice what you say to yourself when the alarm rings. Notice what you think when you face a hard task. Notice the thoughts that appear when you feel tempted to delay. Then begin the practice of replacing them instantly. Instead of 5 more minutes of sleep, say, "Getting up now strengthens me." Instead of "I'll do it later," say, "Doing it now keeps me disciplined." Instead of "This is too much," say, "I will take the first step." This is how you slowly retrain your mind to work for you instead of against you. Over time, as you win more battles in your mind, you begin to feel stronger. You trust yourself more because you know your thoughts no longer control you. You control them. That trust builds a kind of quiet power. You no longer feel like a victim of your feelings. You no longer let every distraction pull you away. You live with intention. That is the essence of discipline. Living by choice instead of reaction. One of the greatest benefits of controlling your thoughts is that it gives you freedom. People often think discipline is about restriction, but it is the opposite. When your thoughts are clear and directed, you are free from the chaos of impulses and doubts. You are free to decide your own actions instead of being pulled by every feeling. That freedom gives you strength, it gives you peace, and it gives you the ability to move forward consistently, even when life is difficult. The difference between those who stay stuck and those who grow is simple. The ones who stay stuck never take control of their thinking. They let their thoughts run wild, and those thoughts lead them into poor decisions, wasted time, and regret. The ones who grow learn to master the inner dialogue. They choose thoughts that serve them. They replace weakness with strength. And because of that, their actions follow a higher path. From this moment forward, make it your mission to notice your thinking. Treat every thought as a visitor, knocking on the door of your mind. Some visitors you welcome in, because they bring value. Others you send away, because they bring harm. The power to decide who stays and who leaves is yours. When you exercise that power daily, discipline becomes not just an action, but a way of life. Do not wait until your thoughts drag you into poor decisions. Take control at the first moment. Direct your mind before it directs you. Replace weakness with strength, doubt with determination, hesitation with action. This is how you take ownership of your life And this is how you build the discipline that will carry you to every goal you set for yourself. Chapter 4. Force repetition until your brain accepts new behavior. Human behavior is built on patterns. Whatever you do repeatedly becomes easier to do again. The brain is designed to adapt, and it does not care whether what you repeat is useful or destructive. If you repeat procrastination, it becomes natural. If you repeat excuses, they become automatic. If you repeat strength, that becomes automatic too. The way you rewire your brain for discipline is through deliberate repetition, forcing yourself to do the behavior again and again until it feels normal. At first, it feels uncomfortable, even unnatural, but repetition changes what your brain accepts as familiar. Think about the first time you tried to do something difficult. It felt heavy, awkward, or exhausting. Maybe it was exercising, waking up earlier than usual, or speaking in front of others. The first time is always the hardest. But notice what happens after you repeat it. The difficulty begins to fade, the task feels less foreign, and eventually it becomes a regular part of your life. That shift did not happen because the task changed. It happened because your brain adjusted to the repetition. What was once unusual became routine. The problem for most people is that they quit before that adjustment takes place. They start a new behavior, but when it feels uncomfortable, they tell themselves it is not for them. They expect discipline to feel natural immediately. But nothing feels natural in the beginning. Walking once felt impossible. Reading once felt overwhelming. Driving once felt terrifying. You overcame those things only because you forced repetition until your brain accepted them. The same principle applies to every habit you want to build. Discipline grows when you push past the stage of discomfort and keep repeating. That is the test. The brain is stubborn. It prefers the old patterns. It wants to keep you in what feels safe. When you introduce a new behavior, it resists. That resistance is not a signal to quit. It is a signal that your brain is adjusting. If you keep repeating, you break the resistance. But if you stop, you train your brain to resist even more the next time. This is why forcing repetition is not optional. It is necessary. The key to making repetition work is consistency, not intensity. Doing one massive effort and then stopping does not rewire anything. Doing something small every day does. If you want to build the habit of reading, reading 2 pages every single day is more powerful than reading 100 pages once a month. If you want to exercise, moving your body daily is more effective than training hard once and then resting for weeks. The brain learns through rhythm, through the daily act of repeating, not through random bursts of effort. You must also remove the expectation of instant change. Too many people want quick results. They want their brain to accept new behavior after 1 or 2 tries. When that does not happen, they quit. But your brain does not change on demand. It changes with repetition. That means you must force yourself through the stage where it feels unnatural, through the stage where it feels uncomfortable, until you break through to the stage where it feels automatic. If you can survive the middle stage, you will succeed. This is where discipline becomes real, doing the action even when you do not see results yet. Imagine planting a seed and digging it up every day to check if it is growing. It will never take root. Behavior works the same way. If you stop repeating too soon, the habit never has time to form. But if you give it enough consistent repetition, the roots grow deep, and soon the behavior belongs to you. You do not have to think about it anymore. It becomes part of your identity. Repetition also has another powerful effect. It builds evidence for your mind. Every time you repeat a disciplined action, you are showing yourself proof that you can do it. One push-up proves you are capable of moving. One day of writing proves you are capable of producing. One day of controlling your schedule proves you can direct your time. Each repetition is evidence that weakens doubt and strengthens belief. Eventually, the belief becomes so strong that the behavior is no longer forced, it is who you are. There will be moments when you feel tired of repeating. That is natural, but those are the exact moments where change is happening the most. Repetition carves grooves into your brain, and every time you continue despite boredom or fatigue, you make those grooves deeper. The deeper the groove, the easier it becomes to repeat again. Quitting at that stage erases your progress, but persisting solidifies it. That is why persistence is more important than motivation. Motivation comes and goes. Persistence comes from repetition, and repetition creates discipline. One practical way to make repetition work is to attach it to something you already do. If you want to build the habit of gratitude, write down three things you are thankful for right after brushing your teeth. If you want to build the habit of exercising, do a few push-ups after you pour your morning glass of water. Linking a new behavior to an existing one creates a natural trigger for repetition. The more you link, the easier it becomes to repeat without forgetting. You must also celebrate the completion of repetition, not just the outcome. Many people only reward themselves after big results. But the truth is, repeating the action itself is the real victory. Each repetition is a win. When you acknowledge that, you reinforce the behavior, and your brain becomes more willing to repeat it again. This is how you make repetition sustainable. Another challenge with repetition is monotony. Doing the same thing every day can feel boring. But boredom is part of training. Your brain craves novelty. But novelty does not build discipline. Repetition does. You must be willing to endure the plain days, the days where it feels uneventful, because those days are the ones that change you. When you learn to stay consistent without needing excitement, you prove to yourself that you are serious. That seriousness is what separates those who succeed from those who quit. Think about how repetition has shaped your current life. The way you walk, the way you speak, the way you react to stress, all of it came from repetition. You did it enough times until it became automatic. If repetition shaped your old habits, it can shape new ones too. The question is not whether repetition works, it always works. The question is whether you are willing to force it long enough for your brain to accept it. The most powerful part of repetition is when it moves from being something you do to something you are. At first you say, I am trying to be disciplined. After enough repetition, you say, I am disciplined. That shift is not in words, it is in identity. You no longer have to remind yourself every day. You simply live it, but the only way to reach that stage is through forced, consistent repetition. If you want to test yourself, choose one small behavior and commit to repeating it daily for the next 30 days. Do not miss a single day. It could be writing one paragraph, drinking more water, or turning off your phone before bed. Force yourself through the discomfort, through the boredom, through the resistance. Watch what happens. By the end of 30 days, your brain will start to accept it as normal. Extend it to 60 days, and it becomes harder not to do it than to do it. That is the power of repetition. You shift the default of your brain. The reason most people never change is not because they lack ability, but because they lack patience with repetition. They underestimate how long it takes for the brain to adapt. They want shortcuts. But the truth is, repetition is the shortcut. It feels slow, but it is the fastest path to change, because once your brain accepts a new behavior, you no longer fight against yourself. You move forward naturally, without constant struggle. That is real freedom. Discipline is not a mystery. It is simply the result of forcing repetition, until your brain surrenders to the new pattern. At first, you carry the habit, then the habit carries you. And when that happens, you no longer depend on willpower every day. You depend on who you have become. That transformation is available to anyone willing to repeat long enough. So do not quit at the stage where it feels unnatural. Do not give up when it feels boring. Do not stop when results are not immediate. Keep repeating. Force the behavior again and again, until it feels like part of your identity. That is how discipline is created. That is how lives are changed. And that is the path waiting for anyone who chooses to repeat, until the brain accepts the new way of living.
Chapter 5. Replace negative self-talk with strict self-direction. The way you talk to yourself is the most powerful influence on how disciplined you become. Every word you repeat in your mind either strengthens you or weakens you. If the voice inside you is full of doubt, excuses, and fear, then your actions will follow that pattern. You cannot live a disciplined life if you let negative self-talk control your decisions. Discipline begins with learning to replace destructive language in your head with strict self-direction. You must speak to yourself like a leader who gives orders, not like a critic who tears you down. Negative self-talk often comes quietly. It tells you that you are not ready. It reminds you of past failures. It whispers that the effort is too much. Most people allow those thoughts to become permanent companions, not realizing that every time they agree with them, they are shaping their future. If you keep telling yourself you are weak, you will live weak. If you keep telling yourself you cannot change, you will not change. The mind follows the words it hears most often, especially when those words come from your own mouth. Strict self-direction is the antidote. It is the decision to take full control of your inner dialogue. Instead of allowing your thoughts to drift aimlessly, you give them commands. Instead of telling yourself you cannot, you direct yourself to act. Instead of entertaining doubt, you state with clarity what must be done. Strict self-direction is not about pretending everything is easy. It is about refusing to allow weakness in your language. Your words must reflect the standards you want to live by. The reason strict self-direction works is because the human brain responds to clarity. Vague thoughts create hesitation. Clear commands create action. If you tell yourself, maybe I should do this, your body hesitates. If you tell yourself, I must do this now, your body follows. The tone you use with yourself matters. Speak in a commanding voice, not a questioning one. Discipline thrives on direction, and you are the one responsible for giving that direction. When you notice negative self-talk, the first step is recognition. Too many people live unaware of the destructive language in their minds. They repeat the same phrases daily. I am too tired. I am not smart enough. I will never succeed. These phrases become so common they feel normal. But once you learn to notice them, you realize they are not harmless. They are shaping your discipline. Recognition allows you to interrupt the cycle. When you catch yourself saying something weak, you stop it. You refuse to entertain it further. The second step is immediate replacement. Do not leave the space empty, because negative talk will always try to return. Replace it with strict direction. If you say, I cannot do this, replace it with, I will complete one step right now. If you say, I feel too lazy, replace it with, I will stand up and move immediately. Replacement turns destructive energy into constructive action. Over time, your brain begins to accept the new commands as the standard. Another key to replacing negative talk is precision. Do not give yourself vague encouragement. Do not simply say, I can do it. That is too broad. Instead, give yourself exact direction. Write one page now. Turn off the phone and focus. Start walking for 10 minutes. Precision eliminates the room for excuses. Negative talk thrives on vagueness. Strict direction kills it with clarity. You must also understand that strict self-direction requires firmness. You cannot give yourself soft orders and expect strong results. When your mind says, I don't feel like it, you must respond with authority. Do it now. That tone matters. You are not negotiating with yourself. You are leading yourself. Just as a coach directs an athlete with firm words, you must direct yourself with the same seriousness. If you treat your own words lightly, your actions will be light. If you treat them with seriousness, your actions will follow with strength. Self-discipline grows as you strengthen this inner dialogue. At first, you may feel resistance. The negative voice may push back. It will argue with you, reminding you of every past failure. But the more often you replace it, the weaker it becomes. The voice of strict direction grows louder, and soon it becomes the dominant one. You begin to trust your own words, because they no longer carry excuses, they carry authority. That trust is what builds confidence. It is also important to realize that negative self-talk does not always sound harsh. Sometimes it disguises itself as kindness. It tells you that you deserve to rest when you have not yet worked. It tells you that taking it easy today will not hurt. It tells you that tomorrow will be a better day to start. These thoughts feel comforting, but they are dangerous. They are traps that keep you weak. Strict self-direction cuts through those false comforts with clarity. It says, rest is earned, not given. Do the work first. It says, tomorrow will not be better unless you act today. That is how you protect yourself from the deception of comfort. Your environment will also influence your self-talk. If you spend time around people who constantly complain or lower their standards, their language will echo in your head. You will find yourself repeating their negativity, even when they are not present. That is why you must be careful with the voices you allow around you. Surround yourself with people who speak with clarity, strength, and direction. Their language will influence your own, and your inner dialogue will rise to match it. A practical exercise for replacing negative self-talk is to write down the most common excuses you tell yourself. Look at them clearly. Then, next to each one, write the strict direction that should replace it. For example, I am too tired becomes I will begin for 5 minutes regardless of energy. I will never succeed becomes I will practice daily until I improve. Read those strict directions often until they become automatic. Each time the old excuse appears, you already have the new command ready. Strict self-direction is not about being unkind to yourself. It is about being honest and firm. Negative talk weakens you because it removes honesty. It exaggerates your limits and hides your strength. Strict direction gives you the truth. You may not feel ready, but you are capable of action. You may not see results yet, but repetition will bring them. You may not be comfortable, but you are strong enough to continue. That honesty may feel harder to hear, but it builds the foundation for discipline. The ultimate goal is to create a voice inside you that you trust completely. A voice that does not give excuses, does not waste time, does not lower standards. A voice that gives clear, firm direction, and expects obedience. When you build that voice, you no longer have to rely on temporary bursts of motivation. You no longer have to wait for inspiration. Your own words drive you forward every day. That is when discipline becomes a natural part of your life. Over time, you will notice the shift. The negative talk that once controlled your decisions will fade. The strict direction you practice will become automatic. You will wake up and hear yourself saying, "Stand up now." You will face a task and hear yourself say, "Start immediately." You will feel resistance and hear yourself say, "Do not stop until it is finished." That inner dialogue will guide you with power. It will feel like having a strong leader inside you, and that leader will always push you toward growth. Every disciplined person you admire has built this skill. They did not silence negativity by accident. They replaced it with strict direction, daily until it became second nature. And you can do the same. It requires awareness, replacement, precision, and firmness. It requires daily practice. But once you build it, you will never again be at the mercy of destructive self-talk. You will live with clarity, and your discipline will carry you forward regardless of how you feel. From this day forward, decide that your inner dialogue will serve you, not harm you. Stop giving space to negative self-talk. Replace every weakness with a command. Speak to yourself as a leader, not as a victim. Direct yourself firmly toward action, and never forget. The words you repeat to yourself each day are shaping the discipline that defines your future.
Chapter 6. Use pressure to act when comfort pulls you back. Comfort is one of the greatest enemies of discipline. It feels safe, it feels pleasant, it feels familiar, but if you give in to it too often, it slowly pulls you away from progress. Comfort whispers that you can take it easy, that you can delay the hard task, that you can relax just a little longer. At first, it seems harmless, but over time, comfort weakens your drive and lowers your standards. The only way to break its grip is to use pressure, to create conditions that demand action when your body and mind would rather stay idle. Without pressure, comfort will always win. With pressure, you force yourself to rise above it. Pressure is not your enemy. In fact, pressure is often the tool that pulls out your best. Think about deadlines. How many times have you delayed until the very last moment, and then suddenly you produced more in a few hours than you had in weeks? That is not because you lacked ability earlier. It is because the pressure forced you to act. The problem is that most people wait for external pressure, deadlines, emergencies, or consequences before they move. Discipline grows when you learn to apply pressure on yourself before life does it for you. The truth is, comfort has no urgency. It convinces you that tomorrow is just as good as today. It convinces you that nothing terrible will happen if you delay. That is how it keeps you stuck. Pressure creates urgency. Pressure tells you the time is now, not late. When you use pressure correctly, you leave no room for comfort to slow you down. You create a system where action is not optional, where movement is the only choice. One way to create pressure is through accountability. When you tell someone about your commitment, when you make your goals visible, you introduce a kind of weight that pushes you forward. If you promise yourself you will exercise but tell no one, comfort may talk you out of it. But if you tell a friend, if you share it publicly, you feel pressure to follow through. That pressure removes the option of slipping back into comfort. It gives you an extra reason to act. Another way to create pressure is through deadlines. A goal without a deadline is just a wish. If you say you will get something done someday, comfort will stretch that day into months or years. But if you give yourself a firm date, you create pressure that demands focus. Even better, shorten your deadlines. Challenge yourself to act sooner than feels comfortable. That urgency forces you to cut distractions and prioritize what matters most. Without deadlines, comfort will always stretch your timeline. With deadlines, you compress time and accelerate growth. You can also use financial pressure to strengthen discipline. Invest in something that requires you to commit. Pay for the class, buy the equipment, put money on the line. When you invest, you create pressure to use what you paid for. Many people waste opportunities because they never attach value to their commitment. When there is nothing to lose, comfort takes over. When you have something at stake, you are far less likely to delay. Pressure also comes from raising your standards. When you accept mediocrity, comfort wins easily. But when you raise the bar, when you demand more from yourself, you introduce the pressure to perform at a higher level. This pressure is not about perfection, it is about refusing to settle. It is about refusing to let comfort dictate your effort. High standards create the kind of pressure that pushes you to act with seriousness, even when you do not feel like it.
Another powerful way to use pressure is to visualize the cost of comfort. Ask yourself, what will my life look like if I continue choosing ease over effort? Picture the wasted time, the lost opportunities, the regret that builds over years. That vision creates emotional pressure. It reminds you that every choice has a consequence. When you see clearly what comfort will steal from you, you feel urgency to move now. That inner pressure drives action stronger than motivation ever could. Pressure is not about stress for the sake of stress. It is about building conditions where discipline becomes the natural response. Comfort will always try to slow you down, but pressure creates a force stronger than comfort. It directs you to act before you are tempted to delay. It tells you there is no later, only now. That habit of creating pressure builds resilience. It trains your mind to act even when comfort pulls hard. You must also learn to use pressure in moments of weakness. When you feel yourself drifting toward comfort, stop and give yourself a strict command. Speak with authority. Do it now, no delay. The firmness of those words creates instant pressure. It leaves no space for negotiation. That pressure pushes you forward in the exact moment you are most vulnerable to comfort. Without that firmness, you slip back into delay. With it, you build a record of victories against comfort. One overlooked form of pressure is responsibility. When others depend on you, you cannot afford to choose comfort. Responsibility forces you to rise. Think about parents who sacrifice for their children, workers who push through exhaustion to provide, leaders who carry the weight of their team. They act not because they always feel motivated, but because responsibility creates pressure that leaves no room for laziness. You can use this principle in your own life by taking on commitments that require your discipline. When someone else relies on you, comfort becomes a weaker option. It is important to understand that comfort will never disappear. It will always invite you to rest longer, to relax sooner, to wait a little more. You cannot eliminate that pull, but you can overpower it with pressure. Comfort is gentle, pressure is firm. Comfort whispers, pressure demands. The one you choose to listen to determines the direction of your life. If you want to test yourself, put deliberate pressure on your day. Give yourself strict timelines. Remove the easy options. Announce your commitments to others. Place yourself in environments where excuses are not possible. Each time you do this, you strengthen the muscle of discipline. You train yourself to act under pressure instead of shrinking under it. Over time, pressure stops feeling like stress. It feels like structure. It feels like the system that keeps you strong when comfort tries to weaken you. Remember, some of your greatest achievements will come when you place yourself under conditions that leave no choice but action. Comfort cannot exist where pressure is present. If you rely on comfort, your life will shrink. If you rely on pressure, your life will expand. You will grow stronger, more reliable, and more disciplined with every decision. From this moment on, stop waiting for external forces to pressure you. Create that pressure yourself. Decide on strict deadlines. Announce your commitments. Attach value to your action. Demand more from yourself than you currently accept. Use responsibility to keep yourself accountable. Remind yourself of the cost of staying comfortable. Each of these creates pressure that forces action. And when comfort calls you back, when it tells you to delay, when it tempts you with ease, answer it with pressure. Tell yourself, firmly, that action is required now. Move without hesitation. Choose progress over ease. That repeated decision builds the life of discipline you want. It is not easy, but it is possible. And every time you use pressure to defeat comfort, you prove to yourself that you are capable of far more than you think.
Chapter 7. Build mental toughness by choosing effort over relief. Mental toughness is the ability to keep moving forward when every part of you wants to stop.
It is the strength to stay with the effort instead of escaping into comfort. Life constantly presents you with two choices: choose effort and grow stronger, or choose relief and stay weak. The easy road tempts you every day, but if you always take it, you will never know your real capacity. The disciplined life belongs to those who train themselves to choose effort consistently, even when the relief looks more inviting. You must understand that toughness is not built in comfort. It is created in the moments when effort feels heavy, when resistance feels unbearable, when you would rather escape. That is the exact moment where you can either quit or push through. If you quit, you teach yourself that relief is more important than progress. If you push through, you teach yourself that effort defines you. Over time, these choices shape your identity. You either become the person who gives in to relief, or the person who thrives under effort. Most people underestimate how often they choose relief without realizing it. They reach for food when they are stressed, instead of addressing the real issue. They check their phone to avoid facing the hard task. They stop short of finishing what they started, because the effort is uncomfortable. Each of those moments feels small, but they accumulate into a pattern. That pattern either builds weakness or builds toughness. The mind adapts to whichever one you feed. Choosing effort means you refuse to run from discomfort. You accept that growth requires pain. You accept that strength requires sacrifice. You accept that progress will never feel easy. But here is the truth: the discomfort of effort is temporary, while the weakness that comes from chasing relief lasts much longer. When you push yourself to complete the work, the pain fades and the reward remains. When you give in to relief, the comfort fades and the regret remains. Mental toughness is about training yourself to live for the long reward, not the short escape. Discipline requires you to recognize the tricks of relief. Relief always presents itself as harmless. It says you deserve it. It says you will only rest for a short time. It says the problem can wait. But once you accept it, relief multiplies. A short break turns into hours wasted. A skipped day turns into weeks of neglect. The danger is not in the single choice, it is in the pattern that follows. Every time you allow relief to control you, you weaken your ability to choose effort next time. That is why you must be ruthless in rejecting false relief. Building mental toughness begins with small acts of effort. You do not need to start with the hardest challenge. Start with something simple, like finishing your workout without cutting it short, completing your task before checking your phone, or staying focused for a set amount of time without distraction. Each of these small victories strengthens your tolerance for effort. They send the message to your mind that you can endure discomfort. The more you repeat them, the stronger your toughness becomes. As you grow stronger, you can begin to deliberately seek effort. Choose to walk instead of taking the elevator. Choose to stay with the problem instead of quitting when it gets hard. Choose to finish what you started, even when you want to leave it incomplete. Each of these choices builds your resilience. Mental toughness is not a gift you are born with. It is a habit you create by consistently choosing effort over relief. Another essential part of toughness is self-respect. When you choose effort, you prove to yourself that you can be trusted to finish. That trust builds pride, and pride fuels confidence. But when you choose relief, you lose respect for yourself. You may enjoy comfort in the moment, but later you feel disappointed. That disappointment weakens confidence. You start doubting your own ability to follow through. The only way to reverse that is to rebuild trust through effort. Every time you push past comfort, you earn back your respect. Mental toughness also requires patience. Relief always looks attractive because it offers immediate comfort. Effort demands time before results appear. You may work for weeks or months before seeing significant change. This is where many people quit. They cannot handle the gap between effort and reward. But the disciplined person accepts that patience is part of the process. They understand that every day of effort is a brick in the foundation. They trust that the reward will come if they keep stacking those bricks. That trust is what allows them to keep choosing effort even when relief is calling loudly. One practical way to build toughness is to set rules for yourself that you do not break. For example, you decide that you will not go to sleep until you complete your daily target. You decide that you will not stop halfway once you begin. These rules act as anchors. When relief tempts you, the rules remind you of the standard you live by. Strict personal rules create the kind of pressure that keeps you aligned with effort. Without them, it is too easy to drift into excuses. You must also remember that effort feels different once you get started. The hardest part is the beginning. The first few minutes of pushing yourself always feel heavier than the rest. That is where most people surrender. But if you force yourself past that beginning, the body and mind adjust, and the effort becomes manageable. The key is to push through that initial resistance without giving in to relief. If you do that repeatedly, your toughness grows naturally. Discipline also grows when you stop seeing effort as punishment and start seeing it as training. Effort is not a punishment for weakness, it is the path to strength. Every difficult task is a workout for your mind. Every uncomfortable moment is practice for resilience. When you adopt this perspective, you no longer resent effort. You embrace it as the tool that makes you unshakable. That mindset shift is critical. People who see effort as punishment run from it. People who see effort as training welcome it. Relief may feel good for a moment, but it cannot build character. Character is built only in effort. When you are tired but keep going, you grow. When you are afraid but take action anyway, you grow. When you want to quit but stay until it is finished, you grow. These moments define toughness. They separate the disciplined from the undisciplined, the achievers from the average, and every person has access to them. The difference is whether you choose effort or relief. To build toughness, you must also expose yourself to challenges intentionally. Do not always wait for difficulty to arrive on its own. Create it. Wake up earlier than you want. Push yourself to work longer on your craft. Hold yourself to higher standards when nobody is watching. Voluntarily choosing effort makes you stronger, so when life forces effort on you, you are already prepared. The more you train under self-imposed effort, the less likely you are to break when real pressure comes. Eventually, you will realize that effort is what gives life meaning. Relief feels empty, because it creates nothing. It is fleeting. But effort produces results. Effort builds skills. Effort creates confidence. Effort leaves a legacy. When you look back, you will not be proud of the times you escaped into comfort. You will be proud of the times you chose effort and proved to yourself that you were stronger than you thought. That pride will stay with you far longer than any temporary relief. From today forward, begin to notice your daily choices. When comfort pulls you toward relief, stop and ask yourself, which decision will make me stronger? Which choice will make me proud later? Which path builds my discipline? The answer will almost always be effort. Then make the decision quickly. Do not give relief time to argue. Take the harder road and remind yourself that this is how toughness is built. Over weeks and months, you will notice the change. Tasks that once felt overwhelming will feel easier. Challenges that once broke you will feel manageable. You will begin to carry yourself with quiet confidence, knowing that you can rely on your own strength. That transformation will not come from reading or wishing. It will come from repeatedly choosing effort when relief was calling. This is the law of mental toughness. Every time you choose effort over relief, you grow stronger. Every time you choose relief over effort, you grow weaker. The decision belongs to you. And when you consistently choose effort, discipline stops being something you struggle for and becomes something you live naturally. Chapter 8. Fight impulses by reminding yourself of long-term pain. Impulses are quick, sudden urges that pull you toward comfort, distraction, or instant pleasure. They show up without warning, and if you obey them, they lead you away from the path of discipline. You feel the impulse to skip your workout, to eat something unhealthy, to delay the task that demands your attention, or to quit before finishing. In the moment, the impulse feels harmless, even justified. But the truth is, impulses are traps. They offer short relief while creating long-term pain. If you want to force discipline into your life, you must train yourself to fight those urges by reminding yourself of the cost of giving in. Every choice carries a consequence. The problem is that impulses blind you from seeing the long-term effect. They convince you to focus only on now. The sugary food feels good now. The skipped workout feels easier now. The delayed work feels lighter now. But tomorrow you feel weaker. Tomorrow you feel behind. Tomorrow you carry regret. That regret is the pain impulses never show you in advance. The secret to overcoming them is to pause and project yourself into the future, to imagine clearly the pain of what surrendering will cost you. Think about the times you let an impulse control you. How did you feel afterward? Did the comfort last, or did it fade quickly, leaving you with guilt and disappointment? The truth is, the reward of an impulse never lasts as long as the regret. That regret lingers, it grows, it weighs on you over time. When you remind yourself of that truth, you begin to see impulses for what they are, short-term thieves that rob you of long-term strength. Discipline is about training your mind to look beyond the present moment. Anyone can choose what feels good now, but the disciplined person chooses based on the impact tomorrow. This ability is what separates growth from stagnation. If you always chase impulses, you will live in cycles of starting and stopping, motivated one day and defeated the next. But if you fight impulses with the reminder of long-term pain, you begin to break the cycle. You gain control over yourself. One of the strongest tools you can use is visualization. When the impulse comes, do not just think about the comfort it offers. Picture the pain that follows. Picture how you will feel if you give in. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing no progress because you skipped again. Imagine the stress of unfinished work piling up because you delayed again. Imagine the opportunities lost because you quit again. Let those images become clear. That emotional reminder of pain will cut through the false pleasure of the impulse. You must also remind yourself that impulses are temporary. They feel strong in the moment, but they pass quickly if you resist. The problem is that most people never learn to wait them out. They feel the urge and immediately obey it. But if you pause, if you remind yourself of the long-term pain and hold the line, the impulse weakens. Each time you resist, you gain more strength. Each time you fight back, you build more confidence. And with practice, impulses lose their power over you. Fighting impulses is also about building awareness. You must learn to notice the situations that trigger them. Maybe it's when you are tired. Maybe it's when you are stressed. Maybe it's when you are bored. If you do not identify these triggers, you will always fall into the same trap. Once you know them, you can prepare. You can decide in advance how you will respond. When the urge appears, you will not be surprised. You will already have the weapon of long-term vision ready. It is also helpful to replace the impulse with a stronger action. If you feel the urge to skip work, start with a small piece of it immediately. If you feel the urge to eat poorly, drink a glass of water first. If you feel the urge to check your phone endlessly, take a short walk instead. Replacement weakens the impulse by redirecting the energy. Over time, your brain learns that when the urge arrives, you do not obey it. You transform it into something useful. The cost of living by impulses is heavy. It may not destroy you in one day, but it chips away at your strength over time. One skipped workout is not the problem. but repeated impulses create a body you no longer respect. One delayed task is not the issue, but repeated impulses create a life full of missed opportunities. Every person who lives with regret today was once someone who gave in to impulses yesterday. That is the reality you must remind yourself of when the urge appears. If you want a disciplined life, you must accept that impulses will never disappear completely. They will always come. The goal is not to eliminate them, but to control them. You win by creating a gap between the urge and the action, by pausing long enough to remind yourself of the pain you are avoiding. That pause is where your power lies. That pause is where you decide whether to live in regret or in discipline. Mental strength grows each time you hold that line. At first, the fight feels exhausting. But the more you practice, the easier it becomes. Soon, fighting impulses is not about struggling every time, it is about recognizing them and dismissing them quickly. You gain a sense of mastery over yourself. You begin to feel proud not just of what you achieve, but of what you no longer surrender to. That pride becomes fuel for even greater discipline. Another strategy is to shift your perspective of pain. Most people run from pain, but discipline is about learning to face it. The pain of effort is temporary. The pain of regret is permanent. When you feel an impulse, ask yourself which pain you are choosing. If you act on the impulse, you are choosing the longer pain. If you resist and face the discomfort now, you are choosing the shorter pain. Discipline is about consistently choosing the pain that serves you, not the one that destroys you. It also helps to remind yourself of the kind of life you want to live. Do you want to be someone who obeys every urge, or someone who controls them? Do you want to look back on your life with pride or with regret? Your impulses will never think about that. They only care about now. But you must care about later. You must live with the bigger picture in mind. That vision is what allows you to resist the temptation of relief in the moment. Over time, your ability to fight impulses becomes one of your greatest strengths. You begin to trust yourself completely. You know that when the urge comes, you will not be a slave to it. You will recognize it, remind yourself of the pain it brings, and make the stronger choice. That trust gives you freedom. It gives you the ability to focus fully on what matters, because you are no longer controlled by urges. Discipline is the art of making decisions based on long-term vision, rather than short-term desire. Impulses will always try to blind you to that vision. They will try to drag you back into immediate comfort. But when you fight them with the reminder of long-term pain, you take away their power. You create space between what you feel and what you choose. That space is where discipline lives. From this moment on, commit to never acting blindly on impulses. When the urge appears, pause. When the temptation calls, think of the pain it creates tomorrow. Let that thought be heavier than the comfort of now. Then act according to your higher standard, not your lower desire. Each time you do this, you strengthen your discipline. Each time you win, you prove that your future matters more than your impulses. The disciplined life is not built by perfect conditions or endless motivation. It is built by winning the battles of impulse every day. It is built by choosing effort over regret, vision over comfort, discipline over weakness. And it begins with one powerful skill: the ability to fight impulses by remembering the long-term pain they create. That reminder is the shield that protects you from regret and the tool that builds your strongest self.
Chapter 9. Direct your energy only toward tasks that truly matter. Every person wakes up each day with a limited supply of energy. That energy can be directed toward building a meaningful life or wasted on distractions that lead nowhere. Discipline is not just about forcing yourself to act. It is about making sure your actions are directed toward the tasks that truly matter. Without this focus, you can work hard all day and still feel empty because your energy went to things that made no real difference.
A disciplined life is not measured only by activity, it is measured by progress in the areas that shape your future. The reason so many people feel drained yet unfulfilled is because they scatter their energy across too many things. They spend hours reacting to messages, scrolling through endless content, worrying about opinions that don't move their life forward, or chasing trivial tasks that make them feel busy but not productive. At the end of the day, they are exhausted, yet nothing important has been built. That is the trap of undirected energy. When you live this way long enough, you begin to believe that effort itself is enough, but effort without focus is wasted effort. The discipline that changes your life comes from saying no to the unimportant and yes only to the essential. The first step to directing your energy wisely is clarity. You must know what truly matters to you. Without clarity, you will be pulled in every direction by demands, temptations, and distractions. Ask yourself, what are the few things in my life that create the biggest results? What actions move me closer to health, growth, stability, or freedom? These answers will not be the same for everyone, but every person must define them. Once you are clear, the discipline is to align your energy only with those priorities. It is easy to get caught in the noise of daily life. Every notification, every invitation, every request from others pulls at your attention. If you do not protect your focus, the world will decide for you where your energy goes, and the world will rarely direct you toward your highest priorities. That is why you must be deliberate. You not simply hope your energy will go to the right places. You must decide in advance. You must protect your focus like it is your most valuable resource, because it is one of the strongest strategies is to identify your top three tasks each day. The tasks that truly matter, and commit to completing them before anything else. These are not errands or busy work. These are the actions that align with your long-term goals. When you give your energy to them first, you ensure that no matter what else happens, your day produces progress in what counts. Too many people fill their mornings with small distractions and then wonder why they have no energy left for the work that matters. Discipline means flipping that pattern, doing the important first and leaving the trivial for later, if at all. Another way to direct your energy is by creating boundaries. Discipline is not just about what you do, but about what you refuse to do. Every time you say yes to something meaningless, you are saying no to something meaningful. If you constantly allow others to interrupt your time, if you constantly agree to obligations that do not serve your goals, you are giving away your energy. Discipline requires the strength to say no firmly and without guilt. That no protects your energy for the tasks that build your future. You must also learn to recognize false productivity. False productivity is doing things that feel like work, but create no real impact. Organizing endlessly, checking emails every few minutes, over-researching instead of acting. These give the illusion of progress, but waste your limited energy. The disciplined person asks constantly, "Is this moving me forward?" If the answer is no, they redirect immediately. That habit alone separates the truly productive from the perpetually busy. Directing energy is not just about work, it applies to every area of life. If you pour energy into arguments, negativity, or trying to please everyone, you weaken your capacity to grow. If you invest energy in learning, health, meaningful relationships, and building skills, you strengthen your life. The discipline is in choosing where your attention goes and being ruthless about cutting out what drains you without return. Another critical piece is managing your peak energy. Every person has hours in the day when they are sharpest. For some, it is the morning. For others, later in the day. The disciplined person identifies those hours and reserves them for the most important work. They do not waste their sharpest energy on trivial tasks. They guard that time fiercely. This single decision can transform your productivity, because directing your best energy to your best work multiplies results. It is also vital to track where your energy goes. Most people have no idea how much time they lose to distraction. Hours disappear in entertainment, gossip, or mindless scrolling. And they wonder why nothing changes. When you track your habits honestly, you see clearly the leaks in your discipline. Awareness creates the opportunity to redirect. Each time you catch yourself drifting, you can remind yourself, this is not where my energy belongs. Then you bring it back to the tasks that matter. Directing energy requires courage, because it often means disappointing others. People will always want your attention for things that benefit them, not you. They will not care if it drains your focus. If you do not stand firm, you will constantly give away your energy. Discipline is not about being selfish, it is about being intentional. If you cannot protect your energy, you cannot build the life you want. And when you waste your energy, nobody else pays the price, you do. There is also a deeper reason why directing your energy is essential. Life is short, and every day you spend on meaningless tasks is a day you never get back. The regret of wasted energy is painful. Many people realize too late that they spent years working on things that did not matter, only to find themselves with nothing of value to show. Discipline saves you from that regret. It ensures that your time, effort, and focus are invested in building something lasting. To apply this principle, create a list of your highest priorities, no more than 5. Then compare everything you do against that list. If an action serves one of those priorities, it deserves your energy. If it does not, it must be minimized or eliminated. This is how you cut out the noise and live with direction. The disciplined life is not about doing everything. It is about doing the right things with consistency. Over time, directing your energy becomes a habit. At first, you must remind yourself constantly. You must pause before saying yes. You must resist the temptation to do what feels urgent, but unimportant. But eventually it becomes natural. You instinctively focus on what matters and ignore what doesn't. That habit creates momentum, and with momentum, your progress multiplies. You begin to see results faster, not because you are working harder, but because you are working smarter. The people who achieve the most are not the ones who work the longest hours. They are the ones who direct their energy with precision. They know their priorities and give their best to them. They ignore distractions. They protect their focus. They invest in what creates growth. That is the secret. Not endless effort, but disciplined effort, directed toward meaningful tasks. From this moment on, challenge yourself to notice where your energy goes. Ask yourself often, is this building the life I want? Is this moving me toward my goals? Or is it draining me? Then make the disciplined choice. Direct your energy only toward the tasks that truly matter. Cut out what is meaningless. Protect your focus, and watch how your life begins to transform when every ounce of energy fuels progress instead of being wasted on distraction.
Chapter 10. Condition your mind to act without waiting for motivation. Motivation is a feeling, and feelings are unreliable. They come and go without warning. One day you feel unstoppable, the next day you can hardly get yourself to move. If you build your life on waiting for motivation, you will never be consistent. You will only act when conditions feel good, and you will fall back the moment they don't. Discipline requires something stronger than motivation. It requires conditioning your mind to act regardless of how you feel. This conditioning is what separates people who dream from people who achieve. The truth is that action does not depend on motivation. Action creates its own energy. Many people get this backwards. They sit and wait for the right emotion to appear before they begin. They think they need inspiration before they can start the project, go to the gym, or change their habits. But inspiration often only arrives after action has already begun. The very act of moving generates the momentum that feelings cannot. If you only move when you feel motivated, you will waste countless opportunities. If you train yourself to move without it, you will create results every day. Conditioning your mind to act means removing choice from the equation. When you decide that something must be done, you no longer wait to see if you feel like it. You act because it is required,
just as a soldier does not decide whether to train, just as a pilot does not decide whether to check the aircraft, you build rules for yourself that do not depend on moods. Those rules condition you to follow through whether you feel excited or tired, inspired or bored. You move because you trained your mind to obey the decision, not the feeling. One of the most effective ways to build this conditioning is to create non-negotiables. These are commitments you do every day, no matter what. It could be writing a certain number of words, exercising for a set time, or dedicating part of the day to focused work. The point is that they happen without discussion. By repeating them daily, your brain learns that they are automatic. You no longer sit in the morning debating with yourself. The habit takes over. That is conditioning. This practice begins small. Do not overwhelm yourself by trying to change everything at once. Pick one area where you will remove the need for motivation. Commit to it daily. At first, you will resist. Your mind will scream for comfort. But each time you act anyway, you weaken the hold of laziness and strengthen the habit of discipline. Over time, the resistance fades. What once felt forced becomes natural. The more you repeat it, the more conditioned your mind becomes. Another important piece of conditioning is to shorten the gap between decision and action. The longer you wait after deciding to act, the more space you give for excuses to appear. If you decide to exercise, start immediately. If you decide to study, open the book right then. Delay feeds hesitation, and hesitation kills discipline. Immediate action, even if small, locks in the decision. Your mind learns that once you decide, you move. That repeated pattern rewires your behavior until acting instantly is automatic. It is also helpful to reframe how you think about motivation. Instead of waiting for it, treat it as a bonus. When it is present, enjoy it. When it is absent, ignore it. Stop giving it the power to dictate your actions. If you wake up feeling inspired, use it. If you wake up feeling drained, act anyway. When you live by this principle, you no longer care whether motivation shows up or not. You operate on a higher standard. That standard is discipline. Another strategy for conditioning your mind is to tie action to identity. Stop saying, "I need motivation to do this." Instead, say, "I am the kind of person who does this." When you connect discipline to who you are rather than how you feel, your actions become consistent. If you identify as a disciplined person, then acting daily without waiting for motivation is simply what you do. Identity-driven discipline is far stronger than feeling-driven discipline. You must also expect resistance. Your mind will test you. It will search for reasons to delay. It will remind you of how tired you are, how much easier it would be to do it later, how small the task is compared to the effort required. This mental resistance is natural. The key is not to eliminate it, but to act despite it. Each time you do, you prove to yourself that you are stronger than resistance. That proof builds confidence, and confidence reinforces discipline. There is also value in embracing discomfort directly. Many people avoid action because they wait for it to feel good. But part of conditioning is teaching yourself that you can act even when the task feels unpleasant. You can write when you don't feel creative. You can train when your body feels heavy. You can study when your mind feels distracted. By doing so, you teach yourself a powerful truth. Your feelings are not in charge. You are. That realization transforms the way you live. Conditioning also benefits from structure. If your days are unstructured, you leave space for indecision. If you have clear routines, your brain shifts into action without waiting for permission. Wake up at the same time. Begin your work at the same time. End your day with the same ritual. These structures condition your behavior until they no longer feel like choices. they feel like automatic parts of your life. The fewer decisions you leave to feelings, the stronger your discipline becomes. Think about the people you admire who have achieved extraordinary results. Do you believe they felt motivated every day? Of course not. They acted because they trained themselves to move without motivation. They understood that the work must be done whether the emotion was there or not. That is why they are consistent. Consistency is not built on inspiration. It is built on conditioning. The cost of waiting for motivation is high. You lose time. You lose progress. You lose trust in yourself. Each time you delay, you reinforce the belief that you cannot act without the right mood. That belief grows stronger until you feel powerless to change. But the opposite is also true. Each time you act without motivation, you reinforce the belief that you are in control. That belief grows stronger until action becomes second nature. That is the path to freedom. From today on, stop relying on feelings to guide your life. Train yourself to act based on commitment. Condition your mind by repeating daily actions until they are automatic. Shorten the gap between decision and movement. Create non-negotiable standards. Embrace discomfort as part of the process. Treat motivation as optional, not essential. Build an identity based on discipline, not emotion. These principles will condition your mind into a force that acts regardless of how you feel. And when you master this, you become unstoppable. You no longer need to wait for inspiration to visit. You no longer waste days because motivation didn't show up. You live with certainty, knowing that no matter what, you will act. That certainty is the foundation of discipline, the foundation of progress, and the foundation of a life of strength.